Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
You know, I was brought up not around babies. I was the baby of our family. I'm the baby, and we had a big gap in between all of us as children. My mother had 10 miscarriages, 10 miscarriages. I was her 13th pregnancy. And so I was brought up not around babies. We didn't have one in our child. We just were never around babies much. I grew up, I don't ever remember holding a baby. I don't ever remember being around one at all. I never babysitted. We never had babies over for the weekend, just invited random babies over. We never did that much. I don't ever remember doing anything that had to do with nursery or toddlers. I never changed a diaper, any of those kind of things. I was clueless. And then after several years of being married, Delaine got pregnant. I don't know how that happened. I don't know what happened. And so anyway, Delaine got pregnant. I was all, woo, that's cool. That's neat. We started getting the nursery ready. That was kind of cool. And started getting diapers and wipes and little diaper genies together. All these cool things in colors. And, you know, like geese with like hats on and all these cool things you decorate nurseries with. And I was all about it. But I had no experience in dealing with babies at all. So the night that McCall was born, our first night, Delaine had a C-section, had a little bit of challenges. So that night, and I was thank God for a woman's hospital, but they brought our child to us. It's like, what do you want me to do with this? I mean, I'm paying you. I mean, Italian starts working. I'm paying somebody. I saw a nurse in the hallway. Why is she in here? But they brought McCall in the room to stay like 5 hours. Delaine's C-sectioned all up and she's not moving much. And so I'd never held a baby in my life. And then it happens. She had to change a diaper. And Delaine sees, I think you're going to have to do it. And so, so I've never changed a diaper in my life. And they didn't give us wipes. They were these like medical gauze that couldn't hold water. It was like a duck. I mean, you couldn't put water on it. And so I've got these medical gauze diaper. And she, I can't help you. My C-section. And so I'm trying to do all this. And I am panicking. I didn't know how to do anything. Because there's procedures and there's techniques and there's strategy. I didn't have any strategy last thing. Literally, I might as well operating or working on the space shuttle. I mean, it took about 20 minutes. About 20 minutes. And it was everywhere. I mean, a nurse came in, I was like, where you been on break? I've been working. You need to give me your pay. So we made it through the hospital and then we went home. Brought McCall home with us. Her mother came over. Stayed with us for about 9 days. I mean, just coaching us. Just walking us through it all. And I can remember when she said, I've got to go home today. I was like, can you just stay one more day? I mean, I just pulled a hamstring. Liz got a C-section. I mean, I was going everywhere with it. I mean, my stomach was hurting. I had a C-section. Finally, she had to leave. I mean, finally, Brother Wayne was like, boy, I got to get some food. I mean, send her home. She ain't married to you. Get her to Central. I'll never forget loading up that Volvo. Tears in my eyes. I remember she pulled out of our driveway in Zayu Lakes, just eased on out. I just was like, come back! And I remember walking in, this is the point, walking in back to into our home. Me and Delaine and this baby that never went anywhere, didn't go hang out with his friends, always at the house. I mean, the feeling, I mean, it was the silence of Delina and I just looking like, okay. The responsibility hit us upside the head of the awesome responsibility of this child. Now, we had three more. I started working on them a little bit better, understanding the dynamics and those kind of things. We had two more. It felt like three. I really love my kids. I promise you, I love my kids. I'm a decent dad. I just can't change a diaper with pieces of paper. That's all they give you. Here's the thought. As a parent, it is full-on responsibility from day one. You know what I found out? As they get older, it keeps increasing. It increases with age. It increases with more stuff. It increases with friendships and exposure to the world. Car, college, dating, money, etc. But here's a thought I had recently. If we stood before the Lord and asked him this question, out of all the responsibilities we have, what is all important? What does God really require of us? What's the major and the main thing? Well, we got to tend to this and we got to take care of that and we got to make sure they get this. And we got to get them ready for life and we got to do this and they get grown and we still feel like we got a little bit of responsibility. Sometimes I have children and now we're raising children, grandchildren. A lot of things happen in the world that we live in today. But I just was praying. I said, Lord, teach me and show me, because I don't want to make the minor things the main things. And I don't want to give myself and my energy to so many things and then stand before you one day and you look at me and said, you tended to a lot, but you didn't tend to the main thing. Can anybody give me a better amen? And so as I prayed about that, I talked to some of our staff and I sent out a text to the staff. I said, what would you say is our number one responsibility to the next generation as a church? And they gave me some great revs. Stuff like we owe our kids a commitment to live out our faith in a passionate, loving, life-giving, inspiring way. Giving them also an opportunity to use their talents and their gifts for Jesus due to the sacrifice that we're willing to make. I thought that was incredible. Here's another one. We must guide our kids by teaching them about authentic faith. We got to give them moral boundaries. We got to teach them about the power of a healthy friendship versus a destructive friendship. We got to help our kids make wise choices, ultimately be a servant of Jesus Christ. Here are some others. We got to make sure we fight our giants so that they don't have to fight the giants that we were supposed to kill. Think about it. Think about a generation that doesn't take care of their business, passing it down to another generation. Come on, an addiction that's not overcome. All of a sudden it's passed down. It's given an opportunity to flourish in another generation because we don't tend to the giant, to the Goliath that walks up into our valley. Let me tell you something. I don't want my children fighting a Goliath that I was supposed to kill. Those are great thoughts. I love this thought. We are to do whatever it takes, whatever it costs, to make sure the next generation knows our God and lives for our God. I found some scriptures that I think are just powerful. These are just ones in Psalms. We could go Exodus, we could go Deuteronomy, we could go Joel, we could go all different scriptures that Jesus talked about, but I just pulled out these in Psalms. Psalm 78, verse 3 through 7. Our responsibility, as we're praying a blessing over students, as we're celebrating the diversity of generations in our church, what is our responsibility as a parent, our responsibility as a grandparent, our responsibility as a church to the next generation? What are we supposed to be? And I love these scriptures in Psalm 78, verse 3. It says, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from our children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of our Lord, his power and wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law of Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, to the next generation would know them, even the children yet born, that they would turn and would tell their children. Then they would put their trust, I love that, in God, and would not forget his deeds, but keep his commandments. Psalms 89, verse 1. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known with my own mouth. I will make your faithfulness known throughout all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you establish your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm throughout all generations. Speaking of the lordship of the Son of God throughout all generations. This is another great one, Psalms 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you. Extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. This is a great verse. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Boy, there's nothing like hearing the bold, clear, cut call of God's word. What's our responsibility? To make sure the next generation knows about the faithfulness, the goodness, the truth, the plan, the judgments, the precepts, the statutes, the commands of our God. To know the truth and to know the mighty acts and the goodness and the praiseworthy things of what God has done in our... It's to make sure we tell the story of our own grace. The grace that we've received, our own mercy, our own path that we've walked in, how we found God, how we believe it's true. It's important that we pass that on with our lips. We just don't brainwave it. Just so they'll get it through osmosis, just being around it. The Bible says it's our responsibility with our mouth and especially with our life. It's really with our lips and our life. Amen. It's with our lips and our life that we share the goodness and the greatness of God. We become storytellers of what God has done. Of what God has done. I don't know about you, but I told my kids stories so they were putting them to bed. They would like for me to make up stories. And I always told a story about a pony. I don't know why. I always told stories about pony. Normally in a story, you would begin to tell a story. I would begin to tell a story about a pony. And then I would involve them in the story that the pony ended up coming down our street. I don't know how it found the little Rizzo kids. And usually in the story, there was normally some type of intensity that would take place. And as you were riding the pony, all of a sudden, there was a dragon or there was a bigger pony chasing you. And you began to ram down the hill, but all of a sudden, the little pony outran the bad pony and you made it back home. And we brought the pony inside and became a part of our family. Let's go to sleep now because the pony's tired. What are you doing? You're telling a story. You're putting yourself. I've never told a story. Yeah, it's about some strangers. I would involve us. There was always a sense of tension or something exciting would take place. But at the end of it, gosh, some type of redemption. We've got to make sure we're passing along stories that are not just about ponies and about other things, but stories of truth that involve us and tell of the tension. But also tell of redemption. Redemption, redemption, redemption. It's our responsibility to teach the generations about our God. It's not school's responsibility. It didn't say school. It's not the state's responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility. It's not the internet's responsibility. It's not TV's responsibility. It's not our friends' responsibility. We have the ball and we better pass it on. It's our responsibility. And you know what? That could come in 1,000 different ways and 1,000 different flavors. But ultimately, it is a mandate. Now I want to finish up and then we're going to pray for our back to school blessing. But as I was praying yesterday, I just said, Lord, out of everything that is in your word, what do you want me to make sure that I don't forget? I can forget things. Sometimes I have to be reminded of things. Matter of fact, even in the book of Exodus, it talked about how the men and women, how the fathers and grandfathers were to make sure that they take the word of God and even tie it around their hands and attach it to them so that they did not forget to make sure that they brought the word of God into their life. Why was God saying? For as a reminder. And I just said, Lord, what would be a reminder? Just praying and studying the scripture. In my role, what do you want to make sure that I transfer? As I pray, I really felt like the Lord said, here's the one thing, don't forget. I mean, if you're going to exchange anything, if you're going to pass anything down, if you're going to leave anything, make sure you get this to your kids in the world that we live in today. And it's one simple impression. It's in John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. I believe this is the simple impression of truth that we have to make sure that our children get. And then they have to decide what to do with it. It's this scripture right here, John chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus answered, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. I mean, if there's anything we got to make sure we pass on. I mean, my mother cherished this watch that my grandfather had that came over from Italy as he was a young man who came to this country, 17, 18 years old. He brought that watch over from what was left from his family, the only thing he had from his family. At a young age, he was orphaned and put in an orphanage and came to this country with a watch and a little bag of stuff. And he took that watch and he gave it to my dad. And my mother, after my dad passed away, my mother kept it, and I have it now. She wanted to make sure I got that. I'm holding on to it too, because one day I'm going to hand it over to my son. It's about the only thing we have in some type of a legacy, material legacy, through this Italian little line that we have. But can I tell you, it's important that my son gets a hold of that little gold watch. But there's something more important than the watch, the shotgun, the boat, the camp. It is Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is nothing else. And we need that today more than ever. Because we live in a world that is constantly challenging to dilute it. And to say, well, that's not tolerance. Tolerance can send you straight to hell. We need truth. There is no tolerance to John chapter 14, verse 6. There's no wiggle room. You say, well, dude, that's so strong. It's so narrow. It's so exclusive. I mean, do we really say that as a church? Do we really mean that as a church? No, we don't. Jesus declared it. We didn't come up with anything. Jesus Christ said that. You know what? I don't think we can leave this thought to chance with our children and our grandchildren. I think somebody's got to say it. And then somebody's got to live it. Somebody's got to tell it. And then somebody's got to be a testimony of it. Someone's got to share it. And then someone has to live a life of sacrifice where it'll have meaning. I'll tell you what I love about this verse. I'm glad our Heavenly Father made it simple. He made it real simple for us. There's only one way. There's not 50. Do you know how confusing it would be if God said there's 10 different ways? Because if he said 10, then there'd be 50 counterfeits. But our Heavenly Father said, there's only one way. I think that shows how much he loves us. I think that shows his heart for us, his love for people, his desire that people, none would perish, but that everyone would come to truth, because he just made it in a way. He just said, it's right here. It's in my son, Jesus Christ. It's one way. It's one truth. It's one life. Period. Case closed. That's it. Parents, grandparents, older siblings, whatever you pass down and whatever you're planning on leaving, make sure you pass this down. I don't know what you're planning on leaving to the next generation, but let's make sure we get this to them. Then at least they have truth. If they choose to go another direction, you still gave them truth. If they chose not to believe it, you still lived up to the responsibility that in the world that we live in, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. That is the greatest blessing we can communicate to our children and our grandchildren. And then you and I get the awesome privilege of living that out. How many of us, that's better than a pony story? Can I have an amen? It's better than a pony story. It's better than a pony story.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.